Well, before the wedding and before leaving for Utah, I had the privilege of going to see a West Lyon football game. And I got to see Zach play and everything, and I was just amazed at how well-oiled of a machine it is. I don't know too much about sports or football or basketball or anything like that, but I do know that there needs to be a game plan. You can't run the same play over and over and over again and expect good results. Or you can't run a play that doesn't work over and over and over again and expect good results. I remember watching them. I watched them closely. I was curious about how the plays were called and the rest, and they had these deals on their wrists that they would look at. The coach would call out something. Hopefully I'm getting this right, but the coach would call out a play. They would look at the wrist, and they would execute the play, and they would do different plays throughout. They had a game plan. See, their mission was to beat the opponent. There was a lot of excitement in the stands. Even I got excited. I'd never been to a West Lyon football game, but I was very excited and excited for the prospect of beating the other team. So that's the mission, and they had a game plan to do just that. And today in our text, we see a major shifting point. If you've been with us for the series, Go and Tell the Others, we've seen, before Matthew chapter 10, we've seen Jesus doing ministry. We've seen Jesus healing. We've seen Jesus teaching. And this is a major shift in the plan because it gets bestowed upon people at this point. Jesus says, go and do what I do. Jesus gives the disciples, the 12 apostles, authority to do what he does. And it's a major shifting point. And for the rest of our series, that's what it focuses on. These 12 doing the work that Jesus did. And then eventually, because of the 12, now here we are at Grandview Covenant Church in 2021, continuing to run the good race for the mission of God. Continuing to tell other people the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of his rule and his authority and his salvation plan. And Jesus gives them to them a specific game plan. It is a big game plan. It is a big mission. Draw it down here today at home. God gives us a specific game plan. And it is a big one, brothers and sisters. While the overall plan of the kingdom of God is huge, the overall mission of God saving sinners is huge, we are a part of it. We might be a small part of it, but we were a significant part of it. We are a specific part of God's salvation plan. These apostles were a part of God's salvation plan, and then 2,000 years later, we also are here at Grandview. And here's the thing about specific plans and callings on our lives. Some things can happen. We are either prone to get the game plan of the kingdom of God wrong. We start to redefine sin. We start to redefine truths that we find in the Bible. We start to redefine what God's will for humanity is. Or we're just prone to going away. We're prone to feel inadequate in the plan, or we feel inadequate enough, and then we try to do it on our own. All these things, we're prone to get it wrong so many times. And like in football, I'm a Nebraska fan, and like so often happens in Nebraska, they get going really good, and they're going good, and they're about to go into overtime, and a catastrophic mistake happens, and then the other team gets it. See, we're prone to making mistakes, brothers and sisters, when we go and tell the others. We're prone to make mistakes in our specific calling. We're human, but we have one mightier than us that is ultimately in charge of the mission, which is a very good thing. And so, when we talk about our specific callings today, whether it be individually or as a church, let's look to Jesus for clarity on our calling and Jesus alone. Like, we can't look to ourselves for guidance on our specific calling. We can't look to our intellect, though our intellect's good, or we can't look to our works, though our works is good. We ultimately look to Jesus for guidance on our specific calling. And so join me as we journey through this text today and learn about this and our specific calling and what that looks like and what it looks like to look to Jesus for clarity. And so to work the game plan that God has given us. Because I'm here to say in faith that God has given Grandview a game plan. He's given you a game plan. He's not done with us. He's given us a plan to do. He's given us a little part that we are supposed to steward in his mission, in his plan to save sinners, save those people who don't know him. We have a part in that. And so to work the plan, we must know the calling, we must sense the urgency, and we must trust the Lord. know the calling, brothers and sisters, to know more of our specific calling and who we are called to, we look to the one who sends out. If you're joining me in the text, I'm in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. I'm going to start here in verse 5. Matthew records these 12 Jesus sent out. These 12 were the 12 men or 12 apostles or 12 disciples. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, saying, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. And we might get kind of confused. We might think, why is Jesus saying, stay away from the Gentiles and the Samaritans? Why is he doing that? Because remember, Gentile simply means someone who is not Jewish. So at the time, Israel was God's chosen people. There was a covenant and agreement made specifically with Israel that he would be their God and he would be his people. And he's here to come for Israel, but a lot of the Israelites, some did, but a lot of them rejected Jesus. A lot of them, Jesus didn't meet their expectations. But yet he's saying, go to lost house of Israel. It's not that he's anti-Gentile or anti-Samaritan, because you see in the Gospel of Matthew, he goes to those people, but rather, he gives the apostles a specific calling. See, the apostles could have gone to the Gentiles and Samaritans, but he's saying, no, I'm calling you to go to the house of Israel. I'm calling you to go to the people who the Old Testament talks about. Specifically, that is what I've called you to do. That's what I've gifted you to do, because after all, the gifting comes from the Lord and not from us. And so this is important to understand. To know who we are called to is to look to the Lord. Notice this is a significant verse here. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out. It wasn't some weird idol that sent them out. It wasn't some weird philosophy. It wasn't some weird political party that sent them out. It wasn't some weird idea that they conjured up on their own. It was the Lord Jesus that sent them out. And we come to faith, even though 2,000 years later, we come to faith knowing that the Lord Jesus, that same Lord Jesus, is alive and he sends us out too. And so we look to Jesus for our sending out, just as the 12 look to him to send out. And that brings up the question, well, if that's the case, then what is our calling? How do we look to Lord Jesus for our calling? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is a good place to start. See, Jesus says, go to the lost house of Israel, stay away from the Gentiles and Samaritans. And then after he died and was risen again, he says this, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, we're to go to all nations. And we're a part of that plan to go to all the nations. Here in Northwest Iowa, we're a long way from the nation of Israel, which is way over in the Middle East. But that's God's plan to take the gospel, the good news of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, to every nation. And we're a part of that. And so to look for our specific calling, let's look to the one who sends out. Let's actually come before Jesus in faith. Let's bring these things to him in prayer. Let's be students of the Word. Let's be open to the voice of God, because he's still alive and he still sends out. He sends me out, he sends you out, and as a church, he sends us out. And we might not know specifically who we are to go to at this point, but connectedness with Jesus through the gospel is important. You see that? Connectedness with the Jesus through the gospel is important. If we don't have connection with Jesus through the gospel, that good news that Jesus came for sinners, bore our sin in his body, died, was risen again, and then we are given his righteousness in return and salvation in return because of this work, and we continue to live in a right relation with Holy God because of this work, this is how we are connected to Jesus, and we can't move on from it because he's the one that sends us out. If we're not connected with Jesus, how on earth will we be sent out? I can't stand this out, I promise you. I'm just a man. I'm fallen. I have strengths, but I also have weaknesses. But the Lord Jesus can send us out. So we come to him with humility. He doesn't use the proud, but he uses the humble. And we come to him in prayer, and we consider what our specific calling might be. Because he speaks through us, and he speaks to us. So while we look to the one who sends out, we preach a specific yet universal message of repentance. So we look on here, and the apostles were preaching this message. They were saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They knew who they were sent to because Jesus sent them out, okay? And they knew the message. And that message doesn't change. It's universal. It says, repent, Turn from your sin, trust in the Lord Jesus, because his rule and his authority is near. See, Jesus has made a way and a salvation plan for us, and this is what we point people to constantly. We sow this word constantly, because it's the only message that can save. It's the only message that can make right. And so we preach this message still. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It might not be popular, it might not be met well at all times, but I assure you, if we want to see transformation in people's lives, this is the only message by which it happens. The apostles knew the message, that specific message, yet universal message. And as we are sent out, we minister freely out of our specific gifting. So track with me on this. This is important. So we are sent out by Jesus. We know who we are called to. We know the mission, we know the message which we are to speak to people. And we know our gifting by which that allows us. So look here with me in verse 8. So here's what the apostles did. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They cleansed lepers. They casted out demons. And I haven't raised anyone from the dead recently or ever, but yet this was their calling. This was real. They healed the sick. And people looked at this text, and I just want to divert on this real quick. There's two different responses, and track with me on this because this is important to our gifting, because the Lord supernaturally gifts us for the work of ministry, whatever that might be. See, there's two camps. There might be the camp that looks at this and says, that was only for this time. The miraculous doesn't happen at all today, so healings don't happen, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the other stream that says, well, you look at this text, and if you're not raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons, then you're not a Christian, because that's what we're supposed to do. And I'm here to say that both extremes are wrong. The one extreme misses out on the miraculous nature of God, and the other extreme makes so much of the giftings and the miraculous that they miss out on the things that they are supposed to point to. The healing the sick points to the one, the reason they healed the sick wasn't because of just doing a sign, but it was supposed to point to the one who would ultimately heal the sick. The sign wasn't for cleansing lepers, just an end-all be-all, but it was to point to the one who would make men and women forever clean in his blood. And it's the same with us, no matter what gifting we might have, whether miraculous or not, it is to point to the Lord Jesus. So if we are good at teaching, or if we are wise, or if we are good administrators, or if we are good encouragers, or if we have the prophetic, or if we have this, that, or the other thing, it is always to point to the Lord Jesus. These healings, this raising from the dead, the cleansing lepers, casting out demons, was supposed to point to the Lord Jesus. That's why the apostles were gifted to be this way. So they are specifically gifted. You also are specifically gifted for the work of ministry. And it's fun to me as a pastor to learn more about you all and seeing a little more what you guys are specifically gifted to do. Because if you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has indwelt you, you have gifting to bring to the kingdom of God. And out of your gifting, you proclaim that message of repentance to people. And out of that gifting, you help the body of Christ with the mission of God. And so your gifting is important. So as you're sent out, minister freely out of your giftings. It says here, my version is a little different, but it says you received without paying, give without pay. Or the NIV would say, freely you've received, so freely give. Spiritual gifts are actually called grace gifts. You receive them by grace. You didn't deserve them. But you just received salvation, you received God's favor, and you received giftings for the work of ministry. So once you find that out, use it for the work of ministry, brothers and sisters. And so know the calling, know these things, know who you're called to, know the message, and know your gifting, and then sense the urgency. So I remember when I was on freshman year basketball, I'd never played basketball in my whole life. I didn't even know how to shoot. I didn't know the rules, but someone came alongside me and said, Tim, you should really do basketball. It's the cool thing to do, you know. So that's what I did freshman year, and I didn't know anything about it. And I just remember running drills all the time, and I couldn't even shoot the basketball at first, and the coach, I could still remember the coach's face, and it was kind of, he kind of put his hands on his hips, and he's like, But there was urgency to the game of basketball. I quickly found out. I'm a pretty chill, laid-back guy a lot of the times, but when you start running drills, you know, it's like, come on, Tim, come on, you got to go. You got to pass the ball to there. Come on. And I was just floored. I wasn't sensing the urgency at all. See, I would hear these things, and I would never say anything, but I was like, the coach would say, come on, do this, and I'd be like, what are you talking about? But there is the urgency to a good game of basketball, isn't there? And there's the urgency to the kingdom of God. See, our specific calling from Jesus is urgent. It's urgent. Why is it urgent? Because apart from Jesus Christ, we are sinners. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are bound to an eternity in hell because of the sin that we have committed, the divine treason against God we've committed, the disobedience before a holy God, because he did no wrong to us, but we do wrong to him. And so it's urgent. There's people who are lost out in our world. There's people who are headed towards eternal destruction in our world. There's people who are not connected to a loving God out in our world. It's urgent. And we can't let anything hinder us from going to them at all. We can't set up roadblocks in front of them at all. We cannot let something hold us back at all. And looking in our text here, it was the same with the apostles. Jesus says, acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff. He's saying, don't take things with you that's going to hinder you from this mission I've given you. Don't take anything with you that's going to hinder you from going to the lost sheep of Israel. And fast forwarding to us, let's not take anything with us that's going to hinder us from going to our communities. Let's not take anything with us that's going to set up walls between our neighbors and the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. If anything is doing that, let's freely let go of it. I don't know what that might be for you in your own life or the life of this church, but the mission is so important and urgent that we have to let go of anything for the mission. Anything. It could even be a good thing, but if it's hindering us, we have to let go of it, brothers and sisters. And we do not need to be hindered by anything. See, a lot of times we find comfort in material things, or we find comfort in money, or we find comfort in tradition, or we find comfort in doing the next edgy thing, or we find comfort in just all of our ideas. Whatever it may be, it might be a gamut of things. But at the end of the day, if we're stripped of all that, we're provided for, brothers and sisters. We're provided for. Look here. Jesus says, for the laborer deserves his food. Whatever town or village you enter, you will have food. I will provide. Same with us, brothers and sisters. We can let go of whatever is hindering us from the mission, even though if we see it as so important to us, because the Lord's going to provide. It might not be a comfortable life. That's the prosperity gospel that says if you follow Jesus, everything will just be just so, and you'll get blessing upon blessing materially, and you'll get all kinds of monetary blessings. We might be called to give some of that away, but we're going to receive spiritual blessings through Jesus if we do it. We'll provide, we'll receive provision through Jesus. No matter what happens, we could be killed, we could be left homeless, we could be left this, that, or the other thing. But if we're in Christ, we have him for eternity, no matter what happens here on earth. So let's give up the things that hinder us from the mission, because it's important. There are people who are lost, and apart from him, won't be with him for eternity. They'll be separated from him. So we need to be urgent to what God's called us to in our community, all right? And God has called you individually, brothers and sisters, to callings. It's urgent, so sense the urgency. Sense the urgency in our community. Sense the urgency of teenagers dying this year. Sense the urgency of the things going on in our schools. Sense the urgency of families who are broken and divorces that happen. Sense the urgency of dark philosophies floating around. Sense the darkness of dark acts committed in the darkness. Sense the urgency for those things in your community. So once we know the calling and once we sense the urgency, this is huge, guys. We trust the Lord because it can't be done on our own behalf. When I was living in Oklahoma, I really wanted to be a minister. I started out studying theology, and then I got discouraged with that, and I changed to counseling. And I remember my years in grad school, I thought counseling and marriage and family therapy was really going to be the thing that would solidify me, that would just give me meaning. That's the thing I was meant to do. And I remember it became really evident, I dreamed every day, daydreamed, if you will, of being in the ministry. I knew my calling. And I even sensed that urgency a little bit, but you know what I did? I trusted in myself and not the Lord. So you know what I did? I said, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's impossible. It'll never happen. So I'm going to keep running this counseling race. And I can still remember the times in Oklahoma, and fast forward to the wedding, if you were there, Dad talked about this, and if there was any point that made me cry, it was that. And I thought I would cry when Mariana walked down the aisle, but I was too shell-shocked to at that point. But Dad started talking about our phone calls we had in Oklahoma when I was in grad school, and he talked about the conversations I would have and say, you know, I'd really like to pastor a church, but I just don't know if it's going to be the thing. And, you know, it took me letting go of everything and trusting in him with it. So I finally just let go of it and said, I trust you. And I wasn't necessarily even expecting a church, but then you guys came. And the reason I got so emotional was because that when I let go, God worked the plans out of my calling. He gave me Mariana, the one that was standing before me. He gave me you guys. And I'm not saying that, oh, if you trust in the Lord, your wildest dreams will come true. But I am saying if you trust the Lord, he has it. So whatever he wants you to do, he will accomplish it if you trust in him. Trust the Lord with your specific calling then. Don't force it. Don't force your calling. I was trying to force my calling. I said, this is my calling and I'm trying to force it. But no, I had to let go of it. It's an upside down kingdom, guys. We can't force our callings. Look in here in Matthew 10:11. It says, in whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And here's what they mean by saying find out who is worthy. Find out, it has nothing to do with morality or being morally upright. What Jesus is saying is find the people who are ready to hear. Find the people whose hearts are open to me. Don't force it. We can't force people's hearts open. The Spirit does that. We go and we trust the Lord with who we go to. We don't force it. As you are faithful in your specific calling, trust the Lord with the results as well. Verse 12, as you enter the house and greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it's not worthy, let your peace return. It's trusting the Lord with the results. See, in our own lives, there's people I've been working with. I'm sure there's people you've been working with. It just seems like you tell them the gospel over and over again, and you invite them to church over and over again, and you tell them about God over and over again, and you show love time and time and time again, and they still seem so hard. And we can blame ourselves for the results. We can feel responsible for the results. We can feel inadequate because of the results. We can doubt the Lord Jesus Christ because of the results. And the deal is, we have to say, no, we trust you ultimately with the results. We're going to be faithful in sowing the word. We do that as much as we can, but ultimately we trust the Lord with the results. And lastly, we even trust the Lord for judgment. No matter what we encounter, no matter what hardship or arguments or this, that, or the other thing we encounter, or what evil we might encounter as a church or as people in your calling, you trust the Lord with the judgment. Verse 14, if anyone will not receive or listen to your word, shake the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town, because he says it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities in the Old Testament in Genesis 19 that received major judgment for the unspeakable sins committed there. But Jesus is going a step further saying, you know, as bad as that was and as severe judgment as that was, it's going to be even more intense for the people who reject me, because I revealed God's will. I revealed his salvation plan. I've died on the cross for sinners. I've borne the punishment in my body. I've paid the price, paid the penalty. And for people to reject that, it's a huge deal. So for those who reject your calling, don't let that get you down. The Lord's in control. Keep trusting, keep going, keep running the good race. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, do you know your calling this morning? It's okay if you don't. Remember that Matthew 28, where all of our calling is to go and make disciples of all nations. Our calling can be, our specific calling, what that specifically looks like in your life in this church can be a process, and that's okay. But more importantly, I want to ask you, do you know the one who calls in the first place? Do you know Jesus Christ? Like, do you know him in your heart, not talking about your mind? All kinds of people here in America know Jesus in their mind. But do you know him in your heart? Have you repented? Have you turned from your sin and your evil ways? And have you turned to the Lord? Do you recognize what he's done for you on your behalf? Do you recognize what happened for you there on the cross, that he bore your sin and died for you? Do you realize that he raised to life again for you? Do you realize that he's here now, that if we place our faith in him, that we receive grace, undeserved favor from him? Do you know this kind of love? If you don't, and if you're listening, or if you're here and you don't know the one who calls, this is the call I call you to ultimately, to lay down your life. It might feel kind of uncomfortable or even scary, but you're laying down your life for the best authority that ever was. That is the God of the Bible. Jesus Christ, the one who came, suffered in your place. In either case, brothers and sisters, whether you are here looking for your calling, you're looking for your specific calling and you're confused on that, or if you're confused in the first place who Jesus is, in either case, I call you to look to Jesus Christ. Look to him in prayer. Look to him through the word. Look to him here at Grandview. Look to him when you have conversations with other believers. Look to him, because as the beginning of the passage says, he's the one that sends out. Even though we have an impossible mission at hand, he's the one that sends out. Even though it might seem daunting at times, he's the one that ultimately is in charge of the mission and our specific calling. And he who is faithful to a good work started anew will be faithful to continue in your calling and this church as well, right? Love you all. Great to be back here. Amen.